Welcome back to the Leaders Table. I am your co-host, Ricky Villanueva, alongside Chris Lipscomb.
Hey, guys.
We are so excited to be with you guys again today. We've got a great guest on. His name is Joe Oakley. He is currently in the Chick-fil-A Leadership Development Program in Sunnyside, Miami, Florida. So my hometown for about 3 years. So definitely excited to spend some time with him and just learn a little bit about his leadership journey and just ask him some great questions. I think he's got some great insight. And with that, I'll kick it over to Chris and we'll get started.
Thanks, yeah. Ricky. And thanks, Joe, for joining. So first question I have for you is, could you provide a little more context on what the Leadership Development Program is and what you do in that role in Chick-fil-A Inc.?
Yeah. Thanks, guys, so much for having me on today. It's an absolute honor to spend some time with you. Now, in the Leadership Development Program at Chick-fil-A, there's two paths. One is the interim manager route, and that's where you get the opportunity to lead teams in Chick-fil-A-operated restaurants. And this is where these locations are waiting for the next operator. And so you're in there for, you know, sometimes 1 month, sometimes 9 months, if you get that opportunity. And you're just, you're helping build systems and building sustainability so that when that new operator comes in, they're able to have some success. And then there's a grand opening side, which typically happens about 12 months into the program. And this is where you get to see all the new openings, the new technologies, and help lead teams with the field talent staff. And you also get the opportunity to help with the operator and their dream of becoming an operator. So it's a fun program. It's a challenging program, but just super honored and grateful to be working with Chick-fil-A inside this program.
Joe, so you talked about being an interim manager in this leadership development program. Can you explain just a little bit, what does your day-to-day look like? Like, what are you really doing as an interim manager for someone who may be interested in this type of work?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of my day-to-day is spent inside the restaurant, which is really what I love the most about working inside of Chick-fil-A. But it's really, I would say that particular role is building sustained success. And so what that looks like is building systems inside of the restaurant, you know, around quality and food safety. Like, those things are so important inside of Chick-fil-A. And if you don't have good food and if it's not a safe environment to work, it's going to be a really hard restaurant and business to maintain. But the next big thing that I say is like the most important is hiring and developing talent. And I really think like that's where I come into play as a leader is like, as an interim manager, I'm going to be selecting and hiring the next team members to be on this team. And one of my filters when I'm hiring is like, hire them as if they're going to be with us forever. And I think with that filter and that mindset, it really helps me engage with that individual of like, hey, are you a good fit? You know, are you going to help us in what we're trying to accomplish here? Because, you know, core restaurants are tough, but as an interim manager overall, like I'm really helping develop and build out systems and, you know, help with the future results for that incoming operator.
Yeah, for sure. I got a follow up here for you, Joe. So as you think through, you're in this restaurant, you're leading the team, mm-hmm. right? You talked about systems, you talked about hiring and developing, you know, the team and staff and talent. What would you say is your passion in the restaurant, right? Like, I think we can all say that we love both, right? It's not that we love one or the other and that's it. But what would you say you just like, it energizes you, inspires you to be the leader that you are?
I think for me, it's the people, right? Like, it's just something about being around others for me. Like, some people love remote jobs as 2020 has really created that industry. But for me, I just love being around others because I feel like every single day I get the opportunity to be a positive influence on their life. And you never know what someone's going through behind the counter that your team or across the counter who's a guest. And I think just being able to be in that, it's something that I love. Like, I love developing others. I think it comes from just my sports background. I played soccer growing up, and I just loved the thought of getting better, of challenging yourself. And there's individuals who come work for us, and that's what they're looking for.
Joe, you talked about influencing other people and how that's just really important to you. And that's something you really love having an opportunity to do within Chick-fil-A. Does a story come to mind of an opportunity that you had in the leadership development program to influence a team member, an operator, another coworker? Does a story come to mind of an opportunity that you had?
Yeah, great question. Probably my longest assignment in the program was in Cumberland, Maryland. And, you know, looking back, it was probably one of my favorite times in the program. It might have not felt like that at all points in time when I was there, but looking back, it was for sure. And I think one of my favorite things about that was there was a tenured team, but they needed vision. They needed someone who was going to rally around them and be with them. And so this particular individual, she was so hungry. She was in this particular role as training director who she understood the role and she loved people, but she just had a hard time making that connection with others, despite how she felt about them. She loved them. She just had this really like hard time connecting. And so I think just through conversations with her and leaning in and just asking her questions around how to better herself, you know, through moments where we would read books together and we would listen to podcasts, you know, off site. And then we would come back together and be like, hey, what did you think about that? Like, that was a really sweet time for me because I saw this individual get better in my time in Cumberland. And I think that that's really what it's about in leadership. Like, I may have never seen the end result, but I was thankful that over time I saw growth and I saw change in this individual. And so just super thankful for the ability to understand how important influence is, and specifically in this role as interim managers.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing, Joe. As I think back, you know, you said, or not said, but really just talked about investing in this leader, right? Investment is key. Yeah. And then that team member and leader in the restaurant also has to meet you halfway, right? That's the other side of it, is they have to meet you halfway and you've got to invest in them. What did you see in that individual that kind of was that like kickstarter to say, hey, you know what? This person is going to be a phenomenal leader in the restaurant, but I see that there's a gap, right? Yeah. And so as I see this gap, as I see the potential, what was that red, not maybe not a red flag, but the light bulb that just said, hey, I should truly invest in this person?
Yeah, I think I noticed just how much she cared about the business. Like, she cared about the people. She understood the business at a high level. But there were just some things that kind of happened in her career that kind of just made it difficult for her to build relationships, right? It was a strange thing for me. Like, unless you were sitting at the table with me in that season, you really, this might not even make sense, right? Because she checks the box as a leader that everyone would want to follow. But for whatever reason, she just couldn't get that relationship an impact that she was looking for inside the restaurant. And I think what stood out to me was just how much she cared. And I love that, right? Like, you can't teach that. Like that just has to happen over time. And specifically in a leadership role, it's not taught. Care cannot always be taught. It's really like it's inside of you. You either care or you don't, right? And I learned that growing up playing sports. Like you either care about winning or you're just upset that you lost, right? There's really no in between. But like this individual, she loved everybody. She built great relationships. But at the same time, there was this friction inside of those relationships.
That was great, Joe. I really appreciate that. I might pivot a little bit. This was just on my mind. Joe, I want you to think about someone who wants to be in your shoes. Right? I want to be where Joe's at. I want to get accepted into Chick-fil-A's leadership development program or whatever company they're working for, right?
Yeah.
They're looking to take the next step to apply for that promotion, or maybe they're in a similar situation you are, any program that's really challenging and developing them, and they're looking to own their own business or take the next step and whatever that looks like for them. So for someone who's 2 or 3 years behind you, right, who's looking to get there, what are just some – what do you want to tell that person? I guess that's my question. Like, and you can kind of take that in any direction you want, but just imagine you're having coffee with someone and they're like, hey, Joe, I want to learn about what you do and I want to be where you are. What are some things that you're just going to start sharing with that person across from you?
Yeah, I would probably start with like my journey as a team member. You know, a lot of times people kind of see the end result and they don't see where you started. And so for me, that's like one of the biggest things that I think I can help the next generation understand is like, hey, yeah, I'm here, but I didn't get here overnight. Like there was a process that was really specific to my life that helped me get to where I'm at. And I think you have to understand that specifically in today's world, like we're not even a microwave generation. We're an Instapot generation. Like we want everything right now. And that's just not realistic. And I appreciate the struggle and the challenges and obstacles that were placed in front of me because it's made me stronger. This program is really tough and challenging, but had I not had that struggle, that resistance kind of pressing up against me, I'm not certain I would still be here, right? Because like, it's a lot easier, we can all admit, it's a lot easier to quit something than to stay with something. And so for me, like, I would tell that person, like, hey, trust the process, most definitely. Like, one of the most important things, like, if you've got a plan in place, trust that process. And then secondly, and I don't even know how I was smart enough to think to do this, Chris. I'm just gonna be honest with you. But as a young leader, I knew early on I needed people around me. I didn't just need 20-year-olds around me. Like I needed people who were further along on the journey and could see things that I haven't seen yet. They've done things that I haven't done yet. And so for me, what I would tell that individual is like, hey, who's in your circle, right? Like who's surrounding you and how are they influencing your life? One of my favorite things that I've been told is like, your life is the lump sum of the books you read and the people you meet. And for me, like, yeah, leaders are learners, but I've been influenced and impacted by people who are so much further along than me because I've asked for their influence. I've asked for that coffee and I don't drink coffee. I've asked for that moment to just say, hey, like, how did you do this? And with that guidance, it's really helped me understand like how this process needs to go for me.
Awesome. What I hear you say, Joe, is community, right? Absolutely. Like you have to find your community. You have to have your circle of influence. You know, those are great advice, man. Great advice, especially like Chris's question was great. And as you think through it and those that are listening and it's like, hey, what would you do to really help take you to the next level is find that community, right? And there's people that find community through other like-minded individuals, through an executive coach, through just reading books and learning about the business to hopefully one of these days we'll say watching this podcast, right? At least that's the hope and dream of it. But a question I've got for you, Joe, is as you think through this community, right? What is it that, or maybe not what is it, but what do you, how do you serve the people as an IM, as a GOS to help them build this community that we've talked about, right? That is a impactful way for them to grow. You're in a unique position as an IM and as a GOS in this program. You're traveling the country. You're getting to meet new people, new cultures, new individuals. How are you building this community, even if that community is maybe a small portion of your time?
Yeah, when I think about the teams that we're leading as grand opening supervisors in this particular season, we have something called the field talent staff. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they're team members, team leaders at other restaurants around the country. And they also get opportunities to come in and help us open up these new restaurants. And one of my favorite things to do is to really just get to know these individuals because they're typically individuals who are looking for something a little bit more. And maybe they're not getting it back home, or maybe they are, but they just want to travel. Like there's so many different opportunities. But one of my biggest goals when I got on this side, and this is crazy, but this is kind of how my mind works, is like, I want my influence and impact to be so strong that if I'm in the middle of the Midwest and it's cold, that I would still be able to have those individuals want to come and work for me for 2 weeks rather than go to Florida where it's nice and warm. And I know that sounds silly, right? But that really helps me shape my mindset of like, what is this about? This is about influencing and impacting others in a positive way. And so for me, how I do that is like, I check in with these individuals. Like there's some that are not on assignments with me right now. And they're reaching out, they're asking questions, and I'm reaching out, checking in on how are they doing. Like they are the ones that I want to lead in this season because they're the next generation of leaders in this organization. And I just love that. And I think it builds a really deep community of trust, and they know how Joe works and I know how they work. And it's super impactful for me to be able to lead that way in this particular season.
So for those that don't fully understand what Joe does, he spends about 12 months out of the year helping grand open new Chick-fil-A restaurants. So at times he'll land on ground in a new state, a new city, and he'll meet that owner operator for the very first time, shake hands, and then they get to work with systems and construction and all the things that go into building and running a Chick-fil-A restaurant. So you talked about influencing the trainer team, right? So part of your job is to recruit Chick-fil-A trainers from across the country to support and train the new team members that this operator is going to hire. So like I definitely heard a lot of passion around like serving that specific community and working with those trainers. My question is, sometimes you meet these trainers for the first time as well. Like they fly on ground, you have phone calls with them and they come in and you only have a short amount of time to influence them. And they only have a short amount of time to hopefully train well and influence the operator and his or her team. So my question is, how do you influence them well, and how do you help them influence the team well when you only have sometimes 2 or 3 weeks with this?
Yeah. I think for me, it's calling that out, like you just said, like, hey, we've got a short time here together. And I don't just tell my training team that, I tell myself that. Like, when they get on ground, I've got a short amount of time with them. And that's important to be reminding myself every single day, because what that does is it puts this internal clock of like, hey, every second counts. Like, if something's not going right in the operations with a trainer, like, hey, I need to correct that. Hey, if there's a moment where I can encourage somebody, hey, I need to do that right now. There's really no time to waste because we have such a short time together. And it's really like I talked about the Instapot, like it really kind of heats things up really quick in this 3 weeks that we're together. But I love that. Like, it really helps me understand the importance of my influence as a leader. And, you know, I just got off an assignment in a very rural Midwest area, and it was one of my favorite openings, but we had 15, 17 first-time trainers. And that's tough, because not only was it 15 or 17 first-time trainers, but like, I didn't interview any of these individuals as I came in a little bit later after the recruitment stage. I could just kind of see this fear and like this anxiety from the team. And I'm like, oh, I've got to do something. And we got through that day. And then the next morning, I just kind of had this rally call, like, hey, all I want from you today, I know you're tired, I know you're exhausted, all I want from you today is your best. Like, give me your best. And I think like that rally was like, hey, my best today may be like I can refill 2 cups, you know, and I can smile while handing them out. That might be my best as a trainer today, because their endurance, their capacity as trainers just wasn't what it typically is on these assignments. But I think just like being a leader and meeting this team where they were at really helped them understand, like, okay, this guy's been in my shoes before. He's clearly aware of what is taking place. And I think in that moment, I showed some care to them, but then we were also able to really just build a great relationship with one another. Like, my leader understands where I'm at, and he wants to help me get better. And so I think that's a lot of it. And we have a ton of fun, Chris. Like, there's moments in the day where we just have a ton of fun. And I think that's what makes these long hours, long days, is like just how fun it is. So those are a couple of things for sure.
Joe, so thank you for sharing, man. What I hear you say is intentionality, right? And ensuring that the time that you have with this individual, with this team, with the operator, you're being super intentional with that time. Right. And intentionality is not just like I'm super structured and I only do these things at these times. Intentionality could just be, hey, we're gonna have fun. Right. We're gonna be working alongside this team member this trainer that's coming out and working with me. Right. And just that small little time that we have together, they're gonna get to see a different side of me. And that's how I can impact people. Right. And I can 100% appreciate that. As I think about, I'm pretty hands-on in the restaurant. I love working alongside people and having them feel like the leader is in the trenches with them, right? I think that's a very important part. But so thank you for sharing. I have a question that's burning me, to be honest, that I just want to ask you, right? We have not asked it on the podcast. I'd love to maybe get some background before we get there. I'll ask the question and love for you to just kind of tell us how you got there. But when we did sit down and talk and hear your story, right, you had said that you left Chick-fil-A to pursue ministry, right? And as you pursued ministry, you thought back and you said, man, like, I miss Chick-fil-A. So I'd love to hear just what brought you back to Chick-fil-A as you're pursuing ministry, which is a noble cause and a great, you know, a great profession to be in. That's probably the best way to put it. And you went back to Chick-fil-A. So I'd love to just hear your story on that.
Yeah. Well, Ricky, short answer is I needed money for school. But really, like, looking back on it now and reflecting on it, you know, my dad, he's such a big figure in my life. And I just remember watching his journey in ministry, waking up every day to impact folks, you know, what seemed to kind of be one time a week, you know, on Sundays. And that just seemed unrealistic to me and really kind of hard for me to grasp. And I just remember in this season, as I was kind of thinking like, all right, do I go ministry, do what my dad was doing, or like, do I go another route? I remember my dad just talking to me how, you know, how great dads are. He's like, if you go the business route, you can have a greater reach. And so I saw how hard he worked for his influence in ministry. But honestly, my dad was right. Like, there were so many times we would be out at lunch or in the community, and he would tell others he was in ministry, and immediately this wall would go up and people would act different around him. And my dad was no different after he said those things, but like, they didn't like that response. And so now when I tell people, hey, I work for Chick-fil-A, they kind of lean in, they ask, you know, hey, what's this going on? What's this about? And like, all that to say, like, in business, I just feel like I have a greater impact and influence than I might have had in ministry. And here's the thing, and you said it, like, that's just me personally, right? Like, I have friends, my dad is in ministry, he's been doing it for 30 plus years. Like, this is just me and my personal journey, and I'm super grateful for it. You know, for me, it originally started as a paycheck at Chick-fil-A, but it became a way for me to really live out my purpose and call that God has placed on my life.
Joe, did you see any correlation between ministry and then pursuing Chick-fil-A?
Absolutely. I mean, Chick-fil-A and ministry, it's almost, I mean, they intertwine so much, right? And, you know, it's one of the things that Jesus did so well is he led his ministry, but he led it in the streets with others and the people, the day-to-day people. And that's what I love about Chick-fil-A. You know, I'm behind the front counter and making sure that people are being cared for, and there's an opportunity to serve others at a really high capacity. And that's what I love about it, is like, it is ministry and they are one in the same. But I think just doing it on the business side, there's a lot of great rewards and returns that maybe I wouldn't be able to do inside the four walls of the church.
Thanks, Joe. So it sounds like there's just a ton of impact that you can have at Chick-fil-A. And there's, I guess, the influence they can have on people is maybe the biggest correlation there, right? Is, hey, I want to impact people through ministry, but maybe you saw the ability to also do that within Chick-fil-A. I'm going to kind of ask the opposite question now, or kind of flip this completely 180. And I guess my thoughts are that a lot of times people can glamorize entrepreneurship, right? And say, man, owning your own business is the best. It's the best route, whatever. But we don't often talk about the hardships, right, of entrepreneurship. We just say, hey, own your own business, work for yourself. You have freedom and liberty and all of those things. What do you want to say to someone who is looking to get an LDP, become an owner operator, who maybe has that mindset of, man, this is just going to be rainbows and butterflies?
Yeah, if you're coming into this program, you'll quickly realize in your first assignment that that's not true. I mean, I don't know, but everybody that I've talked to remembers their first assignment in this program. And I think what it prepared me specifically to the question that you're asking about entrepreneurship is like, it's on me. Like, if we're going to get out of this hole as the business owner, as the entrepreneur, I realized in my first assignment in this program, like, hey, it's up to me. And every single day matters. Like, if I want to start running a profit, if I want to fix the facilities, if I want to have better team members, then that's up to me. And so I think that, like, what I love about entrepreneurship and business ownership is it's ownership. Like, it is extreme ownership. Like, it doesn't matter who comes through the door. At the end of the day, it comes down to me. And so I love that. As you know, as I think about my life, like, whether I had a bad grade in school or, you know, we missed the mark on the soccer field, like, as the leader in my own life, like, that was up to me. Like, I felt convicted. I felt like I could do better. And in business, it's no different. And so I really just love the ownership piece. Like, if it's going to work out, it's up to me. And the truth is, like, there's going to be days where you just don't see a way out. But I think it's up to you to speak that positive encouragement to yourself and be like, all right, what's one step forward? I mean, it may look like profitability is a long way away, but what is one step in the right direction? And if that's the step forward, like, okay, that's the one step forward, but it's going to make us better because ultimately I'm owning that. I'm owning this opportunity that is in front of me.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, Joe, as I heard you kind of talking, I want to throw a book recommendation out there. Everything I was hearing you say was very similar to the book called Extreme Ownership by Leif Babin and Jocko Willink. Right. I think as you talk about it, is everything is on you as the leader. That's not that you don't influence others. It's that at the end of the day, if you take ownership, right, where it's like the name of the book, the extreme ownership of this business, you're going to be able to leave it in a better place than when you first arrived or when you first got there. And so I want to throw that recommendation out there for anyone listening. Right. As you talked about, how are you preparing for LDP or just owning a business or even just being a leader? Right. It's a great recommendation. Yeah. So as a question, I got a question for you, Joe. I want to take it back a little as you talk about getting into LDP. Mm-hmm. Right. So as you prepare for this program, I want to hear from you personally, like, what were some of your toughest roadblocks that you needed to overcome to get ready for LDP? And then maybe what's some advice that you would give to, you know, someone that's listening that's like, hey, you know what? I think I want to go to LDP. I'm unsure what I need to do. What advice would you give them? So the first thing was, what were some of your toughest roadblocks? And then some advice for those people that are unsure of what their next steps are.
I think the roadblock that was in my way was myself or my own mindset, Ricky. Like, leading up to this point of deciding to embark on the leadership development program journey, I had 6 to 7 years of leadership experience and almost a decade of loyalty within Chick-fil-A. But for whatever reason, I just didn't feel ready. And I think some of that might be, you know, I was the youngest of the family, like, who knows? But for whatever reason, I just didn't feel ready. And one thing I realized is, like, you're never truly ready, right? But I know for me, like, that's where faith comes in. And one of my favorite quotes that I heard right before I really embarked on this journey was a leader. And she said, you can't control your opportunities, but you can control your readiness. And for me, like, that's all I needed. Like, I started putting in the work. I started getting prepared. I did some things that I never thought I would have to do, but it rested my mind and put it at ease to let me know, hey, you're ready. You're doing all you can do. You're exhausting all options. And because of that, like, I reflected on and realized, like, I had put in the work. I understood how to lead teams and drive results. Like, I was stewarding what was in my hands, and that's going to be no different than when I get into LDP and when I become an operator. I'm going to do those things really well. And so regardless what my mind was telling me, I was ready. And I just really needed to trust that and lean into that. As far as advice, gosh, I think probably the best advice I have is like setting up some goals. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? If you're trying to accomplish getting into a leadership development program, like, all right, like put a plan in place. Don't just think that this is going to happen by itself. Because it's not. Like, anything worth having or doing, there's a plan in place. And so for me, like, I think that's probably my biggest advice is don't just think that this is going to happen. Again, this is one of the hardest, most fulfilling things that I've ever done in my life. But I didn't just say, you know, oh, it's going to happen. Like, no, I had a plan. I had people in my life. Like, everything was starting to grow on top of itself, that when this door opened for me, I was ready.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing, Joe. I think it's also hard to be able to say that out loud, right? And I think the way you said it and the advice that you gave, thinking through a plan and having something in place is super helpful, especially when your mind is kind of flowing in all these different directions and you're trying to figure out, is, am I ready? Am I not? Like, yeah, there's just so much going on. And so I think that's great advice for those people that are in that season that are trying to figure out, where do they go? What do they do? Are they ready? Are they not ready? And it's one of those things, like, you reminded me of, I was reading The Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Gadara, and there was a point where it's like, you're never going to be ready. Who is truly ready to be a leader before they're in that role, right? They're not. And so it's one of those things that trust that you've put in all, like, or not, maybe not put in, but like, you have the tools, the resources to be successful in the drive, right? You talked about care earlier. Can't really teach care, right? You can't really teach it. And so if you have someone that does care and has those tools and resources to continue down that path, I'm not going to say ready, right? I've never talked to these people, but they should be on that path now to saying that they're almost ready. But I've got one last question I've got for you, Joe, as we kind of wrap our time up today, is you've talked a lot about trusting the process. So earlier in our podcast, you said, hey, you know, just trust. As you talk about it now, you're talking about, hey, trust yourself, trust the process, trust the everything that you're putting into it. How has that shaped your thought process as you've led teams?
Yeah, great question, Ricky. Man, I remember when my operator promoted me to director. And I remember going home and I was excited, eager for the opportunity, but I didn't feel anything different. I'm just be honest. Like, there was no overnight understanding of how to be a director. There was no plan. It was just like, hey, you're taking this role. And honestly, it took me years to fill the shoes of that role that my operator was wanting me to fill. But something that I love about my operator and something that I'm now replicating is that my operator gave me so much room to figure things out. Like, it was kind of this sandbox. Like, I think if he's being honest, he probably didn't know what all it was going to look like either. But he believed in me. And I think those two things, so space and belief, allowed me to figure it out. And really, most importantly, allowed me to trust him and his thought of what he wanted this role to look like. And so the belief he had in me is really what kept me going. And so, you know, there's no doubt that there were moments where he was frustrated with me and he was like, probably thinking like, I don't know if this was the best decision. I think there were moments where I was frustrated with myself, as that role was really a lot to really take over. But again, like, he believed in me and he trusted me. And that alone kept me coming back. It kept me showing up, and it kept me pushing forward. And as I think about like that last part of like, how do you lead teams? I don't know about you guys, but like, I love a good documentary. And a documentary that I recently watched was about Bamboo. I mean, just so informative and exciting, right? But the bamboo, it's a very unique tree. I mean, it's tall, it's thin. We've all seen it, right? But it's versatile. It absorbs water well, and it's not easily broken, right? It takes a lot. But one thing that I learned in that documentary was it takes years for bamboo to grow, right? Like, you can water it accordingly and see nothing happen for like 6 or 7 years. But by that seventh year, I mean, the bamboo sprouts. It goes crazy. It grows so fast. The documentary said like sometimes you can see it grow 3 meters or 9 feet in a week. I mean, it just explodes, but it takes time. And I think that's the process of leadership. Like, it takes some individuals years to get it. Takes some decades to get it. But once it's understood and nurtured, like, it can't be contained. And so for me, like, that's kind of been my rally call. Like, I want to be a bamboo leader. Like, I want to be a leader who waters, is patient, and nurtures others' potentials. Because one day that potential is going to explode and it's going to do some incredible things.
Thanks, Joe. I now want to watch a documentary on bamboo. I'll let you know what I think. It sounds like I'll like it. Joe, one final question for you. This is just to give you an opportunity to kind of share anything that maybe we missed or something that's kind of on your heart. So is there anything that you just want to share with whoever's listening? It could be an encouragement, support, advice. What's one more thing that that you'd like to share before we go?
Yeah, thank you so much. I think I have to go all the way back to when I first even considered leadership or reading a leadership book. And John Maxwell, he said it best. He said, leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. And as I've been on this journey within Chick-fil-A, I've thought about that most days more than not. But I like to take that just a step further. And as leaders, you can have either positive influence or negative influence. Both are still influencing, but one's a lot harder to create buy-in and relationships. And so my challenge is understanding that positively influencing others results in trust. And you can have trust, and you can accelerate your vision as a leader because you brought others alongside of you because of that positive influence.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing, Joe. I speak for Chris and I. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was great. It was a blast. We definitely are happy to have you on. And as we have more podcasts, you know, we kind of refine how we're asking the questions and keeping this truly relatable. And so we definitely appreciate you kind of going with the flow with us as we're learning something completely new to us, right? Big thank you to Joe. We appreciate your time today. It definitely, you know, you're in the middle of a not grand opening yet, but you're in the middle of preparing for an opening. So thank you for taking just a few moments of your day to meet with us and record this podcast. And so thank you for that, Joe.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's absolutely my pleasure. I'm just honored to spend some time with you guys. But thank you so much. Good luck, and look forward to doing this again sometime.
Perfect. Thanks, well, thank you, guys.